Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, January 5th, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We are in verse 16. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and for your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls, we pray these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We are in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. And in this verse, we have the greatest illustration of impersonal love for all. That is Operation Grace, the cross. Verse 16 starts out, "By this we have come to know virtue love." And the word there, to come to know, is the Greek word ginosko. Looks like that in the Greek. That's G-I-N, long O-S-K, long O. Ginosko. And it means to know, but more importantly, to come to know. How do you come to know about virtue love? Through consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God, you come to know the greatest illustration of impersonal love for all, the salvation work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ loved the entire human race with impersonal love. He willingly went to the cross under genuine humility, obedience to the incarnation plan that the Father designed. He willingly went to the cross and received the imputation of the whole world's sins on himself, and then the judgment for those sins. He loved the whole world with impersonal love when we were totally unlovely. He loved us with impersonal love when we were in spiritual death, total depravity, when we were his enemies. He solved mankind's problem of sin when we were at our worst. As the Lord Jesus Christ loved the world, all mankind, at its worst. So you are now commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to have impersonal love for all. John 15:12, John 15:17, 1 John 3:23. So 1 John 3:16 again says, by this we have come to know virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us as a substitute for the entire human race. The greatest illustration of impersonal love for all is the Lord Jesus Christ's salvation work on the cross, solving mankind's problem of sin. The entire Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three manifest impersonal love to the entire human race. Impersonal love is unconditional love. It is based on virtue. If you have no virtue, you will never have impersonal love. Now, does God have virtue? God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God is infinite virtue, infinite honor, infinite integrity. And that's why God has infinite impersonal love for the whole world. Because He has infinite virtue, absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God the Father designed Operation Grace the Cross, manifesting impersonal love for all. God the Son executed Operation Grace the Cross, manifesting impersonal love for all. God the Holy Spirit reveals Operation Grace the Cross, manifesting impersonal love for all, common grace. God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind in designing Operation Grace the Cross emphasizes the virtue, the honor, the integrity of God the Father. It emphasizes the fact that He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and therefore God the Father had impersonal love for the entire human race. God the Father's impersonal love for the entire human race, mankind in the status of spiritual death and total depravity, is demonstrated in sending His eternal Son into the world to pay the penalty for all of our sins. John 3:16, Romans 5:8, 1 John 4:10. Personal love for God the Father is the motivational virtue of virtue love that motivates impersonal love for all. Personal love for God the Father was the motivational virtue that motivated the Lord Jesus Christ to have impersonal love for all mankind and go to the cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. He willingly came into the world to solve mankind's problem of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ had impersonal love for all mankind. It was not until Jesus Christ arrived at the cross and was judged as a substitute for our sins that we see the tremendous dynamics of His impersonal love for all. He was judged for the sins of the entire human race, unlimited atonement, a totally unworthy object, a human race in spiritual death, total depravity, ungodly, sinners, enemies. Personal love for God is our motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all, which is our functional virtue. So the pattern becomes obvious. Just as God has impersonal love for all mankind, Virtue love. He loves the whole world in perfect, infinite virtue love. Just as God has impersonal love for all mankind, so He has commanded us. He has commanded us to have virtue love brought to completion in our heart so that we can love all. We are commanded by Jesus Christ to love all. In John 15:12, and John 15:17, and then reiterated in 1 John 3:23. So the pattern becomes obvious. Just as God has impersonal love for all mankind, so also the believer acquires impersonal love for all mankind by living the spiritual life, by the spiritual skills, advancing to maturity, and having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. God's love becomes the pattern for impersonal love. Impersonal love is manufactured for us as we live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one of the spiritual life is the filling of the Spirit. We're commanded to be filled or empowered by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16. And as you live by the power of the Spirit of God, Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is agape, virtue love. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. Spiritual skill number two of the spiritual life is consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. That's 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have, by means of obedience to the truth, obedience of the truth, consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God, purified your souls for an impersonal love of the brethren. Therefore, fervently love one another from the heart. Love one another with impersonal love. However, if you are in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, then you have no virtue. And if you have no virtue, you have no impersonal love for all. Rather, you are in the cosmic system, you have mental attitude sin, sins of the tongue. You hate your fellow believer. And we learned in 1 John 3:15, when you hate your fellow believer, you're a murderer. You commit mental murder. You have no virtue love. There is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. And therefore, when the believer is living in Satan's cosmic system, it is impossible for him to solve any personal relationship problems. Why? Because he has no virtue. No virtue love. He may have personal love, but for personal love to be stable and successful, it is totally virtue dependent. It must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Otherwise, your personal love is worthless. It means nothing. So for personal love to be stable and successful, it is totally virtue dependent and must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. The believer must first of all grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, have virtue love brought to completion in his heart, 1 John 2:5. And you do that by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Now you have God's problem-solving devices. The problem-solving devices of personal love for God the Father. The great motivating virtue of virtue love, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind. The great functional virtue of virtue love. And occupation with Jesus Christ to solve all personal love problems and all people problems. Impersonal love is the unconditional guarantee of believers that they are able to maintain an honorable, virtuous relationship with both friends and enemies. Impersonal love means you have virtue, agape, virtue love, a problem-solving device. And therefore, you are able to handle people honestly, justly, and fairly. And therefore, you have the ability to have a very happy love relationship because you are both imperfect. The husband is imperfect. The wife is imperfect. The friends are imperfect. All members of the human race are imperfect. But impersonal love gives you the ability to handle the inevitable problems that imperfect people produce. Impersonal love brings virtue. Virtue to all the problems. Virtue to all the problems of love and hate. Virtue to all the problems of enmity and friendship. Virtue to all the problems of attraction and animosity. Impersonal love perpetuates its own honor and virtue and integrity without retaliation, reaction, prejudice, discrimination, or revenge. Impersonal love cannot be corrupted or deceived by flattery, human approbation, emotional rapport, or the exploitation of arrogance and personal ambition. Impersonal love is free from arrogance, jealousy, bitterness, fear, hatred, self-pity, guilt reaction, or revenge. Impersonal love cannot be destroyed by hate, persecution, unjust treatment, or any category of antagonism. And the greatest illustration for us? Jesus Christ. Was Jesus Christ hated when he was here? Was Jesus Christ persecuted when he was here? Oh, absolutely. Was Jesus Christ unjustly treated while he was here? Totally. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross and received the sins of all of those people. They're gathered around the cross too, by the way. They wanted to see him die. That was their whole objective, to kill him. And then they shouted, "He can't even save himself. How's he going to save anybody else?" But if he comes off, he could have come off the cross. He could have come off that cross, picked up the cross, and whacked everybody that was down there. If it was me, I'd have done that if I could. That just shows you I'm not Jesus Christ. So, see? You can relax. But he stayed there because if he comes off the cross, there's no hope for the world. There's no hope for the world. And all the people around, oh, there were a couple there that loved him, but most of them were there hating him, wanting to kill him. And he said, "Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do." What's that? How do you do that? These are the people that hate you. These are the people that want to see you die, that they think they're killing you and they're happy about it. "Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do." That's impersonal love for all. See, some of you still haven't figured out what impersonal love for all is. You have a few people you like, and you think because you like them, I have love. No, you just have a mutual admiration society that you get together and pat each other on the back and tell each other how great you are. But what about the ones who hate you, who despise you, who malign you, who judge you, who slander you? Do you love them with virtue love? What about the obnoxious? What about the repugnant believers? Do you love them with impersonal love for all? Impersonal love for all. Jesus Christ loved the world when we were at our worst. Impersonal love for all loves others when they're at their worst. That's impersonal love for all. So we have, by this, we have come to know virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us as a substitute for the entire human race when we were at our worst. Now, He continues on in verse 16, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We have the conjunction chi plus the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the present active indicative of the verb ophelo, plus the aorist active infinitive of tithemi, plus the accusative plural of psuche with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase huper, plus the genitive plural of adelphos with the definite article. We have a special use of the conjunction chi. K-A-I. And all of you, you know chi. Means and. Well, sometimes it does. But this is the special use of the conjunction chi. Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 393, says chi is used to introduce a result which comes from what precedes, and it's correctly translated, and therefore. And so that's how we will translate it. And therefore. And then the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego. E.g. long. Oh, now, there's no need for any personal pronouns to be in Greek when you're, that you have the subject and that in the verb itself. So there's no need for a personal pronoun. When you add a personal pronoun, it adds a lot of emphasis. So the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego, we, is very emphatic. It is emphasizing the imperative of impersonal love that the royal family of God is to manifest to all. We see that again in John 15:12. In fact, turn over. Let's turn over to John 15:12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Now in our verse, 1 John 3:16, we have the greatest illustration of impersonal love for all, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the greatest illustration. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches all of us. In fact, He commands us. My command, this is the Lord Jesus Christ teaching, my command is this: love one another as I have loved you. That's a command. That's a mandate. That's imperative. This is a... the will of, every time you have a command directed to you, that's the will of God for you. My command is this: love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17. This is my command. Love one another. This is impersonal love. Who's giving this command to us to have impersonal love? The one who is the greatest illustration of impersonal love. Turn over to 1 John 3. We're in 1 John 3, but we're not to verse 23. We will be, apart from the rapture. 1 John 3, 23. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's to the whole world, the mandate for the whole world. And then for those who believe in Christ, this is a command. And to love one another as He commanded us. Love one another with impersonal love. This is an imperative. So it's ego, the personal pronoun ego in the plural here is very emphatic. It's emphasizing the imperative of impersonal love that the royal family of God is to manifest to all, and in our context, to all fellow believers. Now, there are all different kinds of believers. There are some very wonderful believers. Some of the greatest relationships you will have will be with believers in Jesus Christ. Believers are the best that you'll ever know in friendship or relationships, and believers are the worst you will ever know. Somewhere between that are unbelievers. But believers make up the very best and the very worst. And here, in our context, it's impersonal love for all fellow believers. And then we have the verb ophelo. O-P-H-E-I-L-O. Ophelo. A couple of things on this verb. Literally, it means to owe something to someone, to be indebted to someone. That's the literal translation. To owe something to someone, to be indebted to someone. Two, ophelo is a verb of obligation. It's a verb of obligation. It's a verb of responsibility. Three, it may be translated that one is obligated, that one must do something, that one ought to do something. It may be translated, one is obligated to do something, that one must do something, that one ought to do something. Four, it is the obligation and the responsibility of the royal family of God to manifest impersonal love for all fellow believers. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It is the obligation and responsibility of the royal family of God to manifest impersonal love for all fellow believers. Now it is followed by the aorist active infinitive of the verb tithemi. T-I-T-H long E-M-I. Tithemi. Tithemi means to lay down. The aorist tense is a constative aorist viewing the function of impersonal love in its entirety. The active voice, it is the obligation of every believer to manifest impersonal love for all fellow believers. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic principle of the Word of God. And what we have here? The accusative plural of psuche with the definite article. P-S-U-C-H long E. Psuche, sometimes soul, sometimes your life. Here it is, life, our lives. And then huper plus the genitive plural of adelphos, adelphos technical term for the royal family of God, fellow believers. For our fellow believers. So the corrected translation now so far. By this, we have come to know virtue love, specifically, impersonal love for all. that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us as a substitute for the entire human race. And he did so when we were at our worst. And therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, royal family of God. One. In stark contrast with hatred, mental murder, described in verse 15, in stark contrast with hatred, mental murder of verse 15, stands the true character of virtue love. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all, verse 16. So in stark contrast with the hatred, the mental murder we studied in verse 15, stands the true character of virtue love, personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all, verse 16. 2. Impersonal love for all is so far from the spirit of murder that its essence lies in giving one's life for others rather than taking lives. Impersonal love for all is so far from the spirit of murder that its essence lies in giving one's life for others rather than taking lives. Three, this impersonal love for all was exemplified in Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for the whole world when the world was at its worst. This impersonal love for all was exemplified in Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for the whole world when the world was at its worst. Four, with this as our model, Christians should be prepared to make similar sacrifices for their fellow believers from impersonal love for all. With this as our model, Christians should be prepared to make similar sacrifices for their fellow believers from impersonal love for all. Five, the Lord Jesus Christ is our role model for impersonal love for all. The Lord Jesus Christ is our role model for impersonal love for all. From impersonal love for the entire human race, Jesus Christ laid down his life for the world to solve mankind's problem of sin, his salvation work on the cross. Six, the willingness to give one's life for any believer is the maximum application of impersonal love for all. The willingness to give one's life for any believer is the maximum application of impersonal love for all. Seven, virtue love brought to completion in the heart of the believer, living the spiritual life, produces such motivation. Virtue love brought to completion in the heart of the believer, living the spiritual life, produces such motivation. The willingness to die for fellow believers when they're at their worst can only be fulfilled when the believer has impersonal love for all. 8. Impersonal love for all enables the believer to solve all people problems in life. Impersonal love for all enables the believer to solve all people problems in life, including the willingness to give one's life for another, making the supreme sacrifice. Impersonal love for all enables the believer to solve all people problems in life, including the willingness to give one's life for all, for another, making the supreme sacrifice. If you have impersonal love for all, the willingness to give your life for those who are at their worst, then you have the solution for all people problems you will face in life. So point 9, a question. And don't talk out loud and answer. Or stand up and raise your hand. Would you be willing? The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross for a totally depraved, spiritually dead human race. Would you be willing to give your life for fellow believers who are very obnoxious or repugnant? Or who hate you, who despise you? Now this question demands an honest answer in the privacy of your own soul. 10. Your answer gives you an understanding of your own status quo. Your answer gives you an understanding of your own status quo spiritually. That is, 1, do you hate the obnoxious believer and hate him, mental murder? Or do you love him with impersonal love? Do you hate the obnoxious believer and hate him, mental murder? Or do you love him with impersonal love? 2, are you in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system? Or are you living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills? 3, do you have a spiritual life? Or do you have no spiritual life? Four, do you have virtue, honor, integrity as the basis of impersonal love for all? Or do you have no virtue, no honor, no integrity? Do you have virtue, honor, integrity as the basis of impersonal love for all? Or no virtue, no honor, no integrity? 11. Only maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart can change your arrogant thinking and develop virtue love. Impersonal love for all. impersonal love, including your enemies. Impersonal love for all, including those that you can't stand. Only maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart can change your arrogant thinking and develop virtue love, impersonal love for all, including your enemies, including those you can't stand. So verse 16. By this we have come to know virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us as a substitute for the entire human race when we were at our worst. And therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, our fellow believers, even when they are at their worst. Now, verse 17. We continue on with this illustration. But whosoever hath this world's good. This is the postpositive conjunction de plus the relative pronoun hos with the particle of contingency on plus the present active subjunctive of echo plus the accusative singular of bios with the definite article plus the genitive singular of cosmos with the definite article. The postpositive conjunction de is an adversative conjunction, correctly translated but, and it sets up a contrast between supreme sacrifice of giving your life with the sacrificial giving of your material wealth, food, clothing, so on. And here's the principle. Not many are called on to willingly sacrifice their lives. Not many are called on to willingly sacrifice their lives. But all can give sacrificially of their material wealth or goods. So not many are called on to willingly sacrifice their lives, but all can give sacrificially of their material wealth or goods. Now, I am not wealthy. In fact, there are people that come here and they have gone back to the lounge back here and they go, gee, you could even stay in that room. There's a bed in there and couches, TV. And Debbie will say to them, well, we lived in that room for 11 years. We lived there for 11 years. The church had all these obligations, and the only way that we could meet those obligations was selling our house and giving the money to the church so they could meet those obligations. And I didn't, at that point, I didn't feel like it was fair for me to ask the church to give me a new house and all these things. So we lived in the lounge in there for 11 years while the boys were all growing up. We're doing homeschooling in there. I was the math teacher. Debbie was the English teacher. Now I was the English major too, but I was the math teacher. And I had told Debbie, give me the teacher's edition that has how the answers to all these things. And I had to study more than they had to study. But then when I gave them the assignment, I would say that words they hated to hear me say, don't guess. I want to see your work. How did you get that answer? I want to see. No guessing. They hated to hear that no guessing stuff. So, and they did fantastic. And we would not quit till they learned it. There was only two grades. You either got an A or an F. If you learned it, you got an A. If you missed one, you got an F. Now, when they finally got to school and they got into math class, they missed one or two in math class. They knew they'd flunked. And they came home and thought, Dad, our teacher she really goofed up. I missed one and she gave me an A. I should have got an F. I said, yes, absolutely. Good thing I wasn't your teacher. You'd have got an F. But they learn math. The whole point is not what your grade is, but to learn the subject. Learn it. That's the only thing that counts. All I want to do is just learn it. Well, we're not wealthy. And we're living here for 11 years. And as you know, the homeless people live at the park and live here at the church. You don't see that. I get here early and, boy, they're in their sleeping bags out here in the front of the glass doors. And I scare the hell out of them. I come up there. Of course, just looking at me will scare the hell out of them. But we're going to have Bible class. There's a park over there. Why don't you just go over there? And plus, there's bathrooms over there. We got all the doors locked, and they'll be locked until class time. And people would come by and knock on the door, and I would answer, and they say, can you give me some money? All homeless people want money. You have to understand that. And I said, this is the first time I don't know who you are. I haven't seen you before. Yes, I'll give you some money. I'll give you some money. Now, a lot of the people that I give money to the first time, they go right over there and buy booze and drink the booze. Now, I said, you're welcome to do whatever you want with it when I give it to you, but I'll give you money this first time, and I'll give you this gospel booklet. And then I explained to them the gospel, how they could know that they would go to heaven. I explained to them that if they believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior, Jesus Christ would come to live in them, and they would be entered into union with Jesus Christ. And He has promised, under His fantastic grace and power, to provide for you. And David said, I've never seen the righteous go hungry. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not only going to be in heaven, but you'll never have to knock on the door and beg ever again in your life. You will never have to beg. And one fellow came by. He just looked absolutely horrible, smelled absolutely horrible. Hadn't had a bath in probably, like some of you haven't had a bath for 6 or 7 months. And I gave him the gospel, and he said, well, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I said, well, the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And then I got the Bible out and I had him read it. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. I said, so I will give you some money today. You need to get a job. Their job. Oh, you might not, you're not going to be a president of a company. Minimum wage. And minimum wage today, hell. When I was working, minimum wage was $3. That was minimum wage, $3. Now, hell, they're practically making as much as the president made when I was working. Not quite, but if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And he disappeared. I never saw him again for months. One day, a knock on the door. I opened the door. Here is a man standing there, short hair. He had long hair. Short hair, clean suit on. He looked fantastic. He said, "Pastor Olson, do you remember me?" Hell no. Nobody comes and knocks on the door looking. No. He says, "You remember that fella? You gave me the gospel booklet and then you showed me that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat." He said, "Well, I believed in Christ." And he says, "I went out and got a job." And he says, "I'm working." And he says, "You told me that I would never, ever beg again if I did that." And he says, "I never have." And he says, "I never will." And he said, "Pastor Olson, I just want to thank you, sir. I want to thank you for taking the time to show me that." He said, "I had been knocking on churches all around, getting begging and getting handouts. But," he said, "thank you for showing me, first of all, Jesus Christ, and secondly, the whole principle of logistical grace, and if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat." Now, we were living here. We're living here because we're living here because we don't have any money. We don't have any wealth. We don't even have a house. We didn't have a house for 11 years. Everybody in the church had a house. We didn't have a house. We lived back here, slept on the floor for a long time, and then finally got a bed. That was awesome. And then we had Dave Abbott over here, and he slept on the floor. And nobody could snore like Dave Abbott. He snored the door open and closed, open and closed, open and closed. And we listened to him and we would start laughing. Debbie and I would laugh, and then our laughing woke him up. And he turned over and says, "How could a guy get any sleep when you guys are laughing all the time?" "You're exactly right, Dave. I don't know how anybody gets any sleep." But this isn't, you don't have to be wealthy to fulfill this verse. We didn't have anything. And we just waited for the right time when the church could afford to help out getting a house. We just went on from there. Now this is a very important verse here. "Not many are called on to willingly sacrifice their lives, but all can give sacrificially of their material wealth. The relative pronoun host plus the article of contingency on, you translate that whoever or whosoever. It's used to introduce a third class condition and therefore is correctly translated, but if anyone, and then the verb echo, E-C-H, long O, echo. Echo means to have and to hold. And therefore it also means to have as one's own or to possess. The subjunctive mood of echo goes along with hos on, to introduce this third class condition. Maybe you do have material wealth and prosperity, maybe you don't. And then we have bios. B-I-O-S. Man, look at that. It looks the same in the Greek and in the English. Bios. One, bios means life in its appearance and manifestations. Life in its appearance and manifestations. Two, it is used of earthly life in its functions and duration. Earthly life in its functions and duration. Three, it is also used of the manner of life or conduct. Four, it is used for the means of subsistence, wealth, property, food, clothing. It's used for the means of subsistence. And this is how it's used in 1 John 3:17. Cosmos, well, you've heard this many times in John, and in John it's many times used for the cosmic system. K-O-S-M-O-S, Satan's cosmic system. But not here. Here it means world. And the genitive case is the genitive of description. It is correctly translated worldly wealth or worldly possessions or worldly prosperity or the world's material possessions. But if anyone has the world's material possessions, that is food or clothing or prosperity. But if anyone has the world's material possessions, food, clothing, prosperity. All right, one. Material prosperity can be the result of living the spiritual life. And when it is the result of living the spiritual life, then the prosperity is from the Lord. Material prosperity can be the result of living the spiritual life, and then the prosperity is from the Lord. Two. However, material prosperity can also be the result of living in Satan's cosmic system. Then the prosperity is from Satan. However, material prosperity can also be the result of living in Satan's cosmic system, and then the prosperity is from Satan. Three, prosperity in its widest sense comes to many believers. Prosperity in its widest sense comes to many believers. Four, some believers will have great prosperity. That's some, not all, some. Five, prosperity from living in the cosmic system, however, is prosperity with no happiness, prosperity with no virtue, prosperity with no impersonal love for all. Prosperity from living in the cosmic system, however, is prosperity with no happiness, prosperity with no virtue, prosperity with no impersonal love for all. Six, prosperity from living the spiritual life and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, that results in impersonal love to all fellow believers, even the worst. Prosperity from living the spiritual life and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart results in impersonal love to all fellow believers, even the worst. Seven, this is prosperity with great happiness, plus H. This is prosperity with great virtue and honor and integrity. This is prosperity with impersonal love for all. So in verse 17, John says, but if anyone has the world's material possessions, food, clothing, wealth, and seeth that his brother has need. This verse is very powerful. And I want you to understand exactly what God is saying here. So we're going to stop here at this point, but you don't want to miss this. This is where the rubber meets the road. There are a lot of people that talk about how much they love God. But if you are not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, if you're not growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you don't have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, then you don't. And many, many believers, they talk a great fight, but it's all blow and no go. But here John gets right down, and this is for all of us. And I want you to know this and learn this. This is very, very valuable, very important. We'll take it up at this point next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.